Okay, West Coasters.
Hello.
Hello.
Howdy. Hey, sounds like a full boat here. Lily, are you on? Good to have Lily get past customs. I think she's going to have one of those passports to get on our call from now on. But I'm excited about Lily getting on because I think, Lily, is that you? I think Lily may have sponsored somebody yesterday, so that would be like the most amount of happiness. Hey, lots of great things. It was an amazing trip this last week. It's an amazing thing. We're learning lots. Somebody's short now, so if you're on a walk around, watch it. We might have to have you go onto a wall. But let's see who's here. Let's go with our completes and incompletes. We'll check out your teams today, see how you did with your work from this last week, and just lots of cool stuff. So first off, Katrina. Or Trina.
I am complete, plus one.
Is your real name Katrina?
No.
Yeah, so I was watching a little movie my daughter made with the girl down the street, and her name is Katrina. It was a very clever movie. They had music and everything, so I got... So you complete how many?
Plus one.
Complete plus one. Okay, got it. Kareen.
Eight.
Complete. Cool. Lily, are you with us? Darn it. Okay, then let's check out and go with Leslie.
Complete.
And Jessica.
Complete.
All right, that rounds it out. We got completes all the way around the horn. Everybody pat each other on the back.
Congratulations.
Congrats.
Okay, this last week, I had the wildest ride. I finally learned something really cool. And that was how to teach what I do. And Jessica still owes me.
I always owe you.
And I think sometime this, probably this next week, Kareen?
Yeah.
Are you up for going out and doing some paired up cold calling this week?
Yeah.
I'll show you how to do it.
Can I come too?
Of course you can.
Is that Jessica?
Yeah.
I'm taking you out anyway.
Oh. Okay. Because I know somebody else that wants to go too.
The only person that I can't get in this deal is Leslie. Leslie?
Why don't you fly in? You can stay at my house. I have an extra room.
Yeah, I think you might need to.
Seriously? You'd have to put up with all my children, but...
No, Corinne can tell me what you guys did, and I'll do it here.
Good. Yeah, well, that's the part that I've found most exciting lately, is that it's teachable. And our whole last call was about people who were teaching one another on the call after I went through town and they went out with me. There were a couple of minor little adjustments we had to make, and we want to talk about those pieces. In fact, I'm hoping that Lily can get through on the call tonight, because Lily's been actually more or less discovering this on her own, and we'll find out how close she comes to what we're actually doing out there. Before we get too far in that, let's go back to what we covered, or our call this week was going to be Kiyosaki's CD, and then finishing off our book, so you were exempt from that. Let's just get people's perspective on the Kiyosaki tape. So we'll start out with Kareen.
We always start with me.
I know, because you're the one I know that's never heard this stuff, absolutely.
Oh, yeah, I thought it was your favorite.
Well, and that it is, because you're my favorite one to hear it from, because it's new to you.
Uh-huh.
And I don't want the other people to kind of, like, steal and spoil the thunder. That's why I'm always going to put Jessica second, because I know it's new to her, too.
Oh. Let's see. I can't take notes, but I did. I really liked how it was kind of, how you shouldn't be afraid of things. And you shouldn't let people intimidate you. And I have had some people doing that going, oh my gosh, you're just in a pyramid scam. What are you doing? This is crazy. You know, and people trying to intimidate me. And it's nice to see that, yeah, I was right. I shouldn't let people intimidate me. Because I look at them and I'm like, look at where you are. You're telling me not to do something?
That's the attitude. I like that stash.
So, that's, oop. I really like that. I was really digging that. I think I listened to it twice, actually.
Do you get it when he says, just keep cheap and tacky friends? I love that part.
Oh, yeah, his cheap and tacky friends.
My cheap and tacky friends couldn't recognize a business. They fell over it. They're telling me that this isn't a good business.
I have some of those.
Yeah, that's rocking. That's why I really salute you all for breaking out of the mold and not. It's one of my favorite quotes. What is the opposite of courage? Trina, do you remember what I said with that?
I don't.
Anybody remember?
I know, like, the Willy Lock Three Bears is the opposite of.
The opposite of courage.
I don't think I've heard you say that.
It'll make total sense to you. Because your friends, see if it fits for them. The opposite of courage is conformity.
Yep. True.
Where you just sort of go with what everybody else does, and you can tell that with the cool kids at school. They're really trying to conform to something they see on TV, and boy, what a miserable way to lead your life. Okay, then, Jessica, what was your perspective on Mr. Kiyosaki?
Well, everything that he said I think is so true. And I actually had a father who lost his job when he was 55, and he was in sales and trucking, and it was awful for the man. And I was a teenager and saw my strong daddy crumble because he lost his whole career. And who was going to hire him at 50-some years of age? But it's so true that society just, and me myself, I'm the same with my teenagers. You got to have a good job. You have to get good grades. You have to, you know, you have to follow. I've heard another Newton Silver say a lot of people just swim down the stream like a fish, you know, in their pool of fish. The people that, or the fish that break free and swim upstream are the people that are belonging in this job. And it's, you know, a lot of what he said about sticking it out and seeing where you are in 3 to 5 years, you'll be a completely different person. And a lot of times I was one of those people that thought network marketing was a bunch of crap. And it's just a sales thing, and nobody can really get rich from that or make any money from that. But those are the people that just quit in 6 months. And they don't stick it out and wait to reap the rewards, nor do they put forth the effort. You know, they just think, oh, it's just going to come, and why aren't I getting paid for doing nothing?
Yeah, that part really frosts me, that people think that they should get paid for putting in an hour and 15 minutes.
Yeah. I bought the product, so it should just come without putting forth any effort. But at your job, that definitely wouldn't happen. And I love how he talks about the people in the E get told what they're worth, when they can take a break, when they have to come to work, when they can leave work, when they're allowed to go see their, you know, it's just true, everything he says.
Well, maybe you all can help me out because I get too far away from this. What is it really like in the working world right now?
Awful.
Oh, my gosh. Like
the same as it's always been?
I think it's worse.
Because people just don't tell you ever when you do things good, unless they're worried that you're going to quit.
If they're feeling a little threatened that you're going to leave, then they might compliment you a little more. But boy, they can sure tell you all the things that you forget and all the things that you do wrong.
Well, you can't make any mistakes.
No, I know.
All those stupid lawsuits and everything going on.
Yeah.
You're under. It's turned into a 100% work zone, and
yeah,
it's just. There's no, and there, it, at least with my work, I mean, they took away all the parties. No more Christmas parties, no more summer parties.
What do you do?
Oh, they gave us $25 each.
No, what do you do?
I was a computer programmer.
Oh, yeah, that's how it is where I work, too. They don't give, they used to, you get a turkey and two movie passes.
You know, I'm supposed to be the only person that likes my boss most of the time.
Well, I like the girls, the women that I work with, when they're not all bitching and complaining and talking about each other. Then they work really well as a team, but it's not something I want to do for the rest of my life.
And it may not just be the people you're working with, it's the whole company, it's the whole aspect of...
Yeah.
It's the feeling that you get from the company as a whole when you're part of a big, huge... I mean, I work for ADP. I mean, who doesn't know who ADP is? One in every four people's paid by them in the U.S., so you end up feeling like just a number all the time.
Yeah. Yeah, you're not a person anymore.
Nope.
Careful.
Well, if that's what it's like out there...
Doesn't that sound good?
We all have a feeling about what we're able to lead people to, and I think sometimes we undervalue what we have. We've talked about that before. We just don't put enough value on what we bring to the table. We're always going to constantly kind of guard ourselves to make sure that we give it the credit that's due. All right, then let's see, Leslie, what was your favorite stuff from Kiyosaki?
I just liked how he explained it, that, you know, he went the traditional business route, and that it ended up flopping on him. That he would have been a lot better if he would have started network marketing instead of trying to do it the hard way.
You get the idea that if you met him and he explained a few things to you, that he would be somebody you could easily sponsor under?
Uh-huh.
Okay, Trina, you jump right on that. What is it about that makes him easy to be sponsored under? What does it do to your confidence? Why do you say that?
Well, when I was listening to it tonight, today on my way home, it really shocked me. I had a really huge eye-opener today at work, and when I was listening to that on my way home, I listened to the Robert Kiyosaki part, like, over and over and over, because what's so amazing is the fact that, you know, there's the guy that was interviewing him, and he would say, you know, well, isn't that normal as far as, you know, jobs and network? Because the guy was kind of putting network marketing down. Well, why would you go that route? Well, the thing is, you know, if getting rich was, or being rich was so easy, everyone would be doing it. And the thing with this is, you know, when you want something, you put your mindset, the fact that you do want it. And what was so amazing is the fact that when he had said that if he would have known about network marketing then, is what he knows now, that he would do it, is because everything is veered around network marketing. You've got phone companies, you've got cable companies that are all a form, you know, you even got cell phones that are a huge market. They're all networking in a different way. And the guy's like, well, isn't that all normal? He goes, well, what's normal? And it's so true. In everybody's eyes, what is normal? And I just think that everything that he said was just so powerful. And it's a CD that, for me anyways, I was thinking about this, that I'll definitely be using for another form of a prospecting, because it's veered around life. It's what's happening now. And the other thing was the whole 401k and all that stuff, it's a joke. We're not ever going to see that. You know, the baby boomers are barely going to see it, let alone the ones that are, you know, in their 20s, early 20s, early 30s.
Yeah, but the big advantage you guys get is you look better so much longer.
Exactly.
It's just not fair for us.
And we're in the network marketing now. I mean, it's just never too late for anybody. And that's the advantage that we have now, is that we're building on our future now. We don't have to ever rely on, oh, the other thing he was talking about, mutual funds. If you think you're going to get rich off a mutual fund and stocks, think again. It's not a formal way of living your life and spending your retirement on mutual funds. You're basically gambling your money.
He speaks with great confidence, doesn't he?
Oh, yeah. He's been there and done that, and he definitely knows that he did it the hard way. That's why he says that doing it, network marketing is simple. Doing it his way is way hard, and he spent thousands of dollars, and he was, I can't remember how many years he said that he went without a paycheck.
Would that strain most families?
Oh, yeah.
That's entrepreneurial thinking. To the max. Jessica, when you hear him, what would you have sponsored under a guy like that in network marketing?
Would I?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
And what is it that's about him that would make you say that?
Because he's open, he's entrepreneurial, he's ambitious, and he'll
just scare you too at the same time.
Oh, definitely, because he'd be above me, you know. He'd be much more confident than I am.
Oh, confidence. That's kind of the word I was looking for. Leslie, what would you say?
Well, that would be kind of scary. Most of us think that someone that's already a business person that already has lots of money, that they don't want to hear about me again.
Oh. Okay, so you're looking at it as if you were sponsoring him.
Mm-hmm.
I was saying, if he was to approach you, would you sponsor under him?
Oh, heavens, yes.
Why?
Oh, great teacher. Well, I told you that CD. It's just the way that he presents himself. And
yeah.
You know, he's got history behind him. He's done his homework.
And how do you know that? He just speaks it, right?
Right. Well, that, and we know his history a little bit.
And do you think he gets objections, or if he was doing this business, he would get objections?
Yeah, but not as many.
They wouldn't ask it twice, would they?
Uh-uh.
They wouldn't bring up a stupid comment twice.
No, because he talks with confidence.
That's it. And so
he doesn't stumble over his words when he's given, if he has a response.
Do you think he's rich because he doesn't stumble over his words, or he doesn't stumble over his words because he's rich?
He doesn't stumble over his words.
I think the first. Well, you said the first one.
He doesn't stumble over his words.
Yeah.
That's the second one.
No.
Oh, the first one. Yeah, okay.
Confident. And he
yeah.
doesn't stumble over his words.
Did you know that there are some people who have that right from the first day they sign on application?
Mm-hmm.
And the only difference between them and anybody else is just how confidently they stand for something, right? And then if the only difference between the one who really blows it out and the one who doesn't is how confidently they stand for something, what's the best way to be absolutely confident when you're not yourself? When you're not confident, how do you get confident?
By doing and learning.
That's true. That's the long way around, and you will want to learn that, but how do you do it overnight?
Make it till you make it.
Borrow from someone else.
That's what I'm looking for.
Borrow?
borrow the confidence from somebody else. So if you've got, if you can, then you just hang around somebody whose dad is tougher than your dad. They can beat up your dad. If you can hang with people, now what's even better than that, if you've got five people that really believe, then your prospect doesn't have a chance. If you can begin to start bringing people to a group, no individual really stands a chance. If the group is cohesive and they believe. Do you know what I'm talking about? If you bring somebody with a negative, or they've got some objection, and you bring them to a group of people who are standing completely firm on some subject, and that person really doesn't know what they're talking about, you're going to be safer in numbers, is what I'm saying, right?
Right.
Brand new person is going to be far safer when they're hanging around a bunch of other people who get what they know, what they like, what they're talking about. So as people in your business development, in your growth, if you just hang with the people who get it, and if you hang with each other, then that brings up what we're going to talk about next. And that is this game, this sort of team prospecting. It started, I've often taken people out, and many times people will kind of see what I do and they'll say, what? That's what we do? No. That's so much easier than I thought, because it's just a revelation to them. It's like, there's no way. Are you sure we get away with doing that? Absolutely. But I could never teach them to teach, and it was really frustrating to me. So when I got to Kansas City, Audria was just a delight, new first line gal for me, said, hey, when the event's over on the 17th, that Rhythm of the Business event, I've set it up so we can go group prospecting. I would never have thought of doing that. But the reason she thought of it was that she had a couple of her people that were new, and time was short, and she and I had gone out together so that I could show her prospecting the time before. So she was pretty fired up about it. We went to have lunch, and at lunch, even before, it was crazy. The first prospect stopped me on the way to the bathroom. It was crazy. I wasn't wearing one of the square buttons from the event, but other people were. And we were coming in and giggling and talking and having a good time. So I was headed toward the bathroom, and the guy said, what is this Rhythm of the Business? We talked for about 4 or 5 minutes. Boom, he gave me his number. He said, this is my wife, Molly. We got to see this. So who's going to contact us? So I gave him my local girl. Then just before we left, we were going to go out prospecting at the mall. It's a perfect time of year for doing that. Those people at the mall are so bored they're about ready to die. Went out prospecting at the mall, and just before we went out, I'm leaning up against the pole, and there was a lady flipping through a little book there, and I started chatting with them. They started telling me everything about their whole life. Apparently, they were the landscapers that had just completed the job of landscaping all the private homes for all the singing group Alabama. You ever heard of them? And they were just a mom and pop sitting there comparing pictures, and they'd cut out of a magazine and stuff. And apparently these were the ideas they were going to use for something. My comment to them was, are you building a house? And I remember doing that when we were building a log house, was just getting ideas and keeping them in a big book like that. No, we're landscapers, and she does the designs, and I do the the mule work, he said, and so I asked more about their business and was just fascinated. Pretty quick, they were, we got to a point where they wanted to have me have somebody drop over at their house. And people were just going, how do you do that? We haven't been here for 20 minutes. You got two names and numbers of people wanting somebody to drop by. So the process was trying to figure that out. And it worked like a champ. It was just such a neat thing. First thing we did was we defined how do we get, or this is really one of the critical pieces. You have to be there on purpose. Wherever you happen to be doing the prospecting, you can't be there artificially stalking. If you're stalking people, they know you're stalking them. You feel like you're stalking them, and they pick it all up. So when I say you have to mean to be there, you have to be there on purpose. Who's got an idea what I mean by that?
Meaning you're walking into a place knowing exactly what it is that you're going in there for.
Right. And it doesn't have anything necessarily to do with recruiting for NECAN. It has everything to do with I need to get some new paint for the base. Something that's exactly, and I've been looking for it, I have to do it. When I'm in that situation, I can be totally normal. I can be sharing information back and forth. The clerks have to talk to us because that's what they get paid to do, right? And they're trying to develop a rapport because that's what they get paid to do. So we started that process. Who's been able to get that far with people? You go to some place and you've got to buy something or learn about something. You all have done that a million times, right?
Right.
Does anybody remember when we had our little deal where you're supposed to make them smile?
Right, yep.
And when you did that, did you have any problems getting people to talk to you?
No.
They just kind of opened up and dumped it, just downloaded, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if we can get them to do that, then what are we looking for? We learned a couple of key phrases that told us, that allowed us to hear why they wanted to be recruited. So who can come up with a couple of questions that might indicate what that potential prospect's looking for in life?
Well, when you ask them what they do, you ask them what they like about what they do and what they don't like.
And what will that question, what do you like about you, what you do, tell you?
Things that they're looking for, what they're looking for out of their career opportunities.
Sure.
You know,
perfect.
If they like to work with people, or if they like to make money, or they like computers, or they don't like talking to people.
And so when you approach them with your approach, you'll know exactly what to approach them with, right?
Right.
Okay, so let's review. Leslie, what was it that was the question that brought that up?
I don't remember. Sounds like there were several questions.
Rena, what was the question that brings it out?
What do you like about what you do?
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, that was the easy one.
Yep. So if we can ask somebody, what do you like about what you do, then we're getting an idea of what motivates. And Jessica, you've been doing your homework, so what's the other question?
What don't you like about what you do?
And what does that reveal?
Tell me why.
Perfect. And what does that reveal?
Things that they, the type of person that they are and things that they want to avoid.
So now you have the ability to come back to them, and when you ask them if they're looking for something new to do in their life, you can kind of kind of put a little leverage on it because you know what they really like, right?
Well, and if you reiterate that when you're presenting other options, if they're keeping their options open, and you reiterate the things that they like, then that shows that you really listened to what they said. And you're heard of their strengths and their weaknesses.
So that's building trust within them to talk to you, right? Here's what
why is it so easy to say it when I'm talking to you, but not when I'm out talking to somebody else?
That's why we pair up. TJ did it this last week, and he was phenomenal when we went out together, but then he went and did it on his own. But he got this great idea. I had told him that I wanted him to get a voice recorder, so when he did his presentation, he's learned how to do wellness previews, he could record them and then come back later and figure out what parts he liked, what parts he didn't, how could he shave it down and make it cleaner. So he went and bought a voice recorder, and it just so happened that he, while he was there buying the voice recorder, the clerk asked him what he was going to use it for. And he told him it was for, or told her that it was for business reasons, and asked her, well, do you keep your business options open? She said, absolutely. And so he went to call her back and decided that he was going to record his own voice while he was doing the phone call. And he said it was like listening to, he said, I could feel these little things coming, the things that I was just about to stumble or say it wrong. And he said it just hit me upside the head, like, whoa, whoa. I knew I was going to hit, but I didn't know I was going to hit that hard when I landed on the ground. He just knew that he was saying the wrong thing. And yet he wouldn't have known that or wouldn't have learned nearly so much if he hadn't have recorded it to review later on. Has anybody ever recorded yourself doing a presentation?
Record singing, but not recording.
Oh, are you a karaoke or a real life, like, do it for a living type singer?
No, I don't do it for a living. No.
Oh, well, you'll have to grace us sometime, but we'll need somebody like that. Terrific. Kareen?
Mm-hmm.
If you were to record yourself doing a presentation, what would be some of the words that you would look for as highlights of things that you did right, or you might have got off track?
Actually, I kind of try and, just from listening to the CDs and I've been listening to different CDs and stuff in my car as I was doing the assignments, is like to kind of watch out what you say and do things that I, before I caught myself doing that I can't remember what CD I got it off of now. Was like when people would ask me about the body balance, you know, and they'd ask me the price, I was like, oh my gosh, that's so expensive, and I'd say, yeah, well, you know, I mean, but it is, you know, because you tell them everything you get, and you're like, but, then it's $300, and so then it was like, it wasn't worth it, and now people are like, well, how much, you know, I tell them everything they get, and they're like, how much is it? And I'm like, $400. I'm like, God, that's a lot, and I'm like, but look at what all you get. Like, really, it's not, if you think about it, you know. So, I mean, just, like, little things like that, like, yeah, I know they're really, you know, and you kind of come down with them. You don't get excited about it. It's like, yeah, but they're actually really quality. I was catching myself saying kind of negative things where, yeah, I know. And
Rick Murphy has one that I found was really kind of neat that way. It'll be a little bit, it's a little bit hard to squeeze it into this context, because but seems like such an appropriate word there. But he said that every time you say the word but, it sounds like you're justifying it, and it needs to be justified. So he said they found that they sent a salesman out and had him read a script and told the price and said but something. And then he sent the same salesman out, same number of sales calls, and he said the word and instead of but. And instead of selling one out of 20 different calls or something like that. He ended up something like 14 out of 20. By just simply changing the word but to the word and. Leslie, why do you think that would be true? If you think about what it would sound like if you changed the and.
Well, it makes it sound like if what you're saying, but you don't sound confident in what you're selling.
Mm-hmm.
And so it comes across as that. So when you say and, it just kind of continues on describing the product instead of explaining it and justifying it, like you said.
It does. Can you almost imagine somebody, if they say and, it's like they're getting more and more excited about it?
Mm-hmm.
And you can't
build it up.
And yeah, and it's like you're really telegraphing your belief in making it more. So you can see how it would be a little hard to put and in that situation, but it would be the next power step. Good job for such a new person. Anyone we'll open this last little bit up here and see if anyone's having any trouble getting people to show up or answer phone calls, or what are some questions you might have for the group that you're on?
Well, this is Leslie. I've got a question. I'm noticing my problem is with my follow-ups. I tend to just kind of, the words really get messed up as I try to explain things to them or tell them what the next step is or what do you want to do next, and the follow-up doesn't go as smoothly as I would like it to.
Well, that's good to bring up. Let's see what some people have as thoughts. When she says that, Kareem or Katrina, or Trina, what do you think? What comes to mind?
Well, as far as follow-up, the thing, Leslie, you were saying when you do follow-ups, it's hard to say what or know what you're going to say next to them.
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying? believe it or not, that's where my kind of downfall is my follow-ups. But what I hear over and over again is when you're doing your follow-up, you're actually just calling them. I mean, from what I'm hearing from like the CDs and watching the DVDs, when you're you give them, you know, whatever information that you're giving them, when you're following up with them, you're following up to make sure that they listened to. I'm gonna just throw this out there, for example, first look. You give that to them, they review it. You're following up with them to find out if they had a chance to view it. And once they've had a chance, and if they said, yeah, I have, okay, well, the next step is to get them more information or get them to a preview to see what they got out of it, if they're interested in going further, because you don't want to waste your time, you don't want to waste their time. So you want to know right up, for me, I guess that's...
Okay, Trina, there's a key critical step you did there, and... you came loaded for bear. You knew what the next step in your own mind and heart was going to be. So let's ask this question of Leslie, do you feel like maybe there's a little bit of difficulty in following up because you're not real clear on what the next step will be?
No, because I understand the next step. I think I tend to get nervous about messing up how I'm talking to them. You know, am I listening well enough? Am I hearing them right? You know, I'm so worried about what to say that I think I just forget to listen and just go on and let the call lead itself a little bit instead of me trying to say, okay, this is the next step to do. And if I were to listen better, I think I'd be able to walk them through the emotions and things they're going through. Because, you know, let's say the example is that they listen to whatever you gave them, but, oh, they're really busy right now and just don't know what if they've got the time to really invest it. In this, and my instinct is to get nervous. Oh crap! Here they are. They're going to tell me no, and really just in my mind beat myself up instead of listening to them and talking it out.
Good point. Who wants to tackle that one?
So if they tell you that they're too busy right now, what do you say?
Do you say, okay, well, maybe I'll touch base with you in a month, or do you just, how do you end the call then, or do you just keep talking? Oh, you can't hear me, can you?
Yeah, we can. Nobody has an answer.
No, we're going to pretend like we didn't, though, and it'll drive her crazy.
That's not. I actually tried
that. She's using my phone.
One of my, a gal that I was talking to, she's got three boys, and that's what she told me, and she said, you know, timing, this has been kind of difficult to get a hold of her, and she's listened to it. What she had told me is that it just wasn't the right timing, and I kind of came back with, well, you have three kids, great job that you're in. So it kind of sounds like it's the best time here. It's just been kind of time. It kind of sounds like you don't really have a choice. You know, I mean, you have to do something.
Well, that's absolutely true, and I think that's the most powerful position you can be in, because you knew what she wanted to do to improve her life. There's a simple way to kind of come back on her and say, we really want you to, let's say, we know what she wants. One of the simplest ways to do it is to say, is it really true that that's in the way for you? Or are you just trying to be nice to me so that you won't make me feel bad? Because we're really just trying to flush out the truth, the answer, the obvious.
That you said that to with the three kids, did she go further, or did she not?
I wish I could say she didn't.
So, Gary, I have a question on that, then, what
uh-huh.
you just said. If, because I guess I kind of think differently. You know, if someone tells me it's not the right time, well, I'm looking for people that it is the right time. So
yeah, well, what you're trying to do is to find out if that's really, truly what their objection is.
Okay.
Because sometimes, many times, these objections are just knee-jerk objections.
Well, what if all it took was one or two more questions more to have them know that you understand that it's tough and really difficult? And that's all it would have taken to break them. They were just given the standard answer that they give to everybody. I'm too busy. I just don't have time. Look at all everything that's on my plate. And I guess
yeah.
It's more just, I get nervous when it comes to the time where I have to figure out a little bit more about them.
Well,
but
I think
I'm getting them across as pushing.
You know where you can really get, that's one of the toughest places to be, because you don't have enough prospects.
That wasn't very nice to say.
And so what it means is that each one becomes precious to make it kind of hatch right now. And if you have so many that you just can't hardly keep yourself going, because you just are your tail end's running into your front end. You just can't keep going. There's too much. There's a big pile. It's okay. I guess, you know, hey, if you got to go, you got to go. I just got stuff I got to get done. And,
you're right. I guess it's a little bit more than that. Cause I don't feel the desperation. I feel the lack of ability to talk and converse with someone in some ways.
So, are you able, to be involved with somebody else enough during your week, somebody Nikan?
No, I don't think so.
And it's kind of like you're out there trying to do it all on your own, right?
Yep.
Wow, I really commend you for that.
Oh, don't worry, I'm not going anywhere.
You're very strong. I think that's wonderful.
Well, that's what happened 7 years, 6.5, 7 years ago. I didn't have anybody to help me, so I don't have I learn a lot by watching someone else doing it and then me saying, okay, I can do the same thing too. So these practice runs and things we talk about, they help me, but I almost need someone to stand by me and say, okay, let's just go do it together. We're going to get it over with, get it done with. Or have someone actually come to my house and say, okay, you know, let's sit down and we'll both make our calls right now together. But then I feel weak. I say, okay, well, so why can't you do it on your own, Leslie? What's the problem?
See, that would make you crazy, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, you're brand new. Do you think it would be easier or more difficult to do on your own? Or if there's a bunch of people in your area, do you think it would be easier or more difficult?
If there's a bunch of people in my area doing it?
If there's not a bunch of people in your area doing it, then you have more prospects, more availability, and if you fail, really, I mean, there's nobody else to look to. To where if there's a lot of people in your area doing it, there's more competition, and so it kind of depends on what kind of personality trait you are. If you're really competitive, then you want to be in a place where there are a lot of people because you're competing against them for everybody. You know, I mean, you look at everybody as kind of like a trophy, almost, for competition,
uh-huh.
Personal competition, you know, that if I don't talk to that person, Jerry's going to talk to him, and then what'll happen? You know? So you kind of look at them as a, kind of play that game with yourself in competition, where you're all by yourself, you have a personality, you don't have that drive, I don't think. You know, that there's nobody really else out there here, and
Yeah, so it really is dependent on your personality, and the nature of it is somebody has to start from somewhere, and there's an old adage in our business that says, if this is worth doing, it's worth doing poorly till you get good at it. And I think that you just have to give yourself permission to go. And just let it go. Just get up and let it go. And don't be afraid to make mistakes. Just make friends and get a pile of them. And do it because even if you have to say, we're going to prove it to everybody around here that we can goof up more, giggle more, and look like we're unprofessional more than anybody else around here, come and join us.
Mm-hmm.
And that'll build a business. You can do it just the opposite, where you're going to say, really what I want to do is to have a group of people that can really look the most professional around here. What you're doing is you're providing a cause for people to join. And it sounds like when you're doing the callback that you're just not really clear what it is that you want to offer to them, or you're not confident that if you offer it to them, that's probably more it, that if they really want to break free, do you believe that Kiyosaki could get them through if he was sponsoring them into Nikkei? Do you believe Dave Johnson could do it?
Yeah.
Do you believe I could do it?
Yeah.
Do you believe you could do it?
Well, that's the problem.
Yeah, so we just got to fix that problem and you're good to go, right?
Sure, easy problem to fix. I'm assuming I'm not the only one that feels this way.
Oh, no, absolutely not.
No, this is very, very, very common. I mean, very, almost universal. And it comes from something in the past. And it got pre-programmed. And as something in the past that was pre-programmed, it's going to set itself off. And you don't really have a whole lot of control over it. Because have you ever noticed, too, sometimes, like, the best people at handling money or doing singing and performing or whatever, they just never learned somewhere along the line that you're supposed to be afraid of it. They just didn't know you're not supposed to do that. Have you ever seen that?
Yep.
So it's like, geez, I wish I was as dumb as those people. They just don't get it. And so it's really just that block. So where do you think that comes from for you? Where's the block come from when you're talking through your is it that sense that you're just not sure you can get them there?
No, it's more of a why would someone want to follow me? What do I
play? That's terrible to think that way about yourself. You're awesome.
Yeah.
I've been blown with self-confidence.
Oh, Lily's here.
Lily's there. I've been listening for the past 12 minutes.
And Lily,
I'm sorry I'm late, but that was the only time that I had to go and enroll my new distributor.
I just saw that come up on my machine here. So
yeah.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Congratulations, Lily.
We're gonna for a very short moment, we're gonna move the light away from Leslie because she feels like she's getting a sunburn, and we want you to tell us how all that happened.
With my new distributor?
Yeah.
I think this time I really followed the process. I contacted her. She's a neighbor of mine. I told her what I do. And I asked her if she was willing to listen, and she said, okay, come on over. I said, maybe it's not for you. I stayed with that. And I just then opened my Pathfinder's presentation. I read it to her, and she was intrigued. I spoke to her about it a little bit more, and I left her with catalog and thermographic DVD. She looked back to me, and she said, it's interesting. So I took her to a wellness home presentation to somebody else's. But it wasn't only me. She met some people there. She was more intrigued. So I took her to lunch, for lunch the other day with one of the Royal Diamonds here. And next step, I said, would you like to meet my upline? And I, blah, 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 Jerry White, this and that. And we had this three-way call today, this afternoon. And After we spoke with Jerry, she said that she wanted to join, except I couldn't do it at the time because I already had somebody else waiting for me on another appointment. That's why it was so late today. And she signed up, and she bought a few products, and she said she's going to be ready to work as soon as she moves next month. She's moving to another place, so she's going to have a full plate next month. So she's very excited. So I really think they followed that process, the way Pathfinder's guide us to do it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah,
awesome.
They followed it to the T. That's awesome.
Yeah, and it really worked. And today, can I just continue?
Absolutely. You got the floor.
I contacted somebody the other day, a family that I know. They're just acquaintances, but I know that they're a very solid family, and I thought I would love to work with them. Anyway, I just introduced, I said that I worked with this company, and if they were the same thing, if they were ready to listen, if they were willing to listen. So she said, okay. So the only time we could make it was today at 2:30. It was half an hour late after our three-way call, and I didn't do it exactly the same way. Because of the kind of friendship, and it was deeper. So I just talking to her about the bills and stuff like that, and then I said, okay, this is what we do. And she was completely intrigued because she thought that I was coming to sell detergents and stuff like that. So she was.
Oh, okay.
Okay, that's what she told me later. And she was, oh, this is different. So I took the Healthier You magazine with the DVD,
and the catalog and a couple of products. However, I discovered that she has fibromyalgia, this husband has I don't know what else, and I said, oh my God, I told her, maybe somebody sent me here at the right time. I didn't know that you had all these issues. So I explained the products, the technologies, and I couldn't do any testing because of her condition.
Uh-huh.
And she agreed for me to come a bit towards the end of the week to talk to her husband and do the testing on him. And at the beginning, she said, she told me that, well, I'm not the type to be into any sales. So I said, well, neither am I. And this is, am I doing sales for you here? She just looked at me. Okay, I just brushed it off. And before I left, she said, and I told her that I was looking for, not to sell, but I was looking for partners in my business. As I was leaving, she says, in order to be a partner of yours, what should I do?
Lily, don't ever go to bed tonight. You're hitting too good.
Oh, my God. And I thought, oh, I hope this lasts. So I'm seeing them again as it was the end of the week.
Holy smokes. Are we
that
ever glad
awesome.
You came on the phone?
Yeah, that's great. Do you have any more stories?
What gave you the confidence this time, Lily?
I've been reading a lot and through the Pathfinders and all these ideas that Jerry, you're giving us and all the guidance. And as I said a couple of times before, sessions before, something just clicked in my head that I can do it and this is why I want to do it.
Wow, this is so awesome.
And if I sit back and do nothing about it, nothing is going to happen. And for some reason, I guess it's because of my why, I feel so much more confidence in myself opening up to people. Yes, I can do it. Other people do it. I see all these people around me being successful. And I just have to talk to people. And the way that you are teaching us, Jerry, is approaching it from the business point of view. From the Ken's point of view, now the wellness home. It's a completely different issue than what I used to work with. I used to go out and put bandage from people.
Mm-hmm.
This is a completely different issue. I have an appointment tomorrow with a lady who has a venture, whatever you call it, they make ventures.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually met her at my exercise class. I just approached her, and by conversation, I found out that she was fed up with her business, too much work, too much paperwork, and she was planning on selling it. So I approached her from the business point of view as well.
Well, you're now asking the right questions. Obviously, you're asking questions in a different category, and you get a whole different response.
Yes, definitely.
And is it hard to think of the questions to ask?
The more I do it, the easier it gets.
Well,
you know what I mean. I guess everything comes with practice.
Wow, this is just... Does anybody else kind of get the sense that Lily's kind of crossed the threshold here?
Yeah.
I hope so.
And I think that, Lily, we need to hear more from you across the team. Don't you all think so?
Oh, yeah.
And I have this real sense we need to hear more from a lot of people. Our P1 group in the Midwest is absolutely staggering, and we've got some graduates from P1. Here's what I'm seeing that I'm very, very excited about. I'm gathering around me now a larger number of people than I've ever had before who are looking and saying, okay, we hear in our CDs and we understand by seeing people who walk across the state that there are people who make large amounts of money doing this. We're finally intrigued by that. or they're young enough to be intrigued by that, or they're past their own personal illnesses enough to be intrigued by that. And this group then is saying, let's rally around a different flagpole. Let's look at building this out and making it happen. And the revelations and the success rates are becoming incredibly exciting. So I've got to figure out a way, and it's only just going to be one phone call, I believe, where we start to put people together outside the Pathfinder system, because there will come a time when you graduate. And you'll be running your P1, but how do you stay in touch with other people, for example, that are running their P1s or their P2s? How do you stay fresh, and how do you keep the issues at hand? And that's what I want to do now, is to start to pull together the team of people, particularly who see it from the standpoint of, let's go out and make such a significant living that we're finally filling up the financial pillar, where we were really sort of neglecting the financial pillar before. I think it's incredibly exciting. Leslie, let's just go ahead and finish off with something, at least to work on, something constructive that you can work on this week. Are you good with that?
Yeah.
The key is, I want you to imagine, first off, what did you hear in Lily's voice that made her followable this week?
It was just a getting it done type feel and voice.
Kind of a foregone conclusion, right?
Yeah.
And like so many things in our lives, we can say just get over it. But one of the things that I find that's most interesting, of all of the people on our call for the last couple of P1 groups, how many of you think that Leslie really comes across as the most exciting and most competent right out of the beginning?
Mm-hmm.
And really just like, man, she's got it totally together. And what I found is that many times the perception that people have of us is the exact thing in the greatest area of our strength. If let's say we all perceive that Leslie has the greatest strength in being able to just say to people, you got to see this, and bringing them all the way through and signing them up, it will be the one thing that Leslie has the biggest block in. And I'm not sure how to figure all that out yet. Here's an example. We had one lady that had gone all the way up to gold. She got her new gold car. She was making $6,000 or $7,000 in her best check. People wanted to hear from her, but she was so afraid of saying something in front of a group that she might say something wrong or that they would think she was dumb. She would, whenever we got to big events or recognition, she would go to the bathroom, throw up, and go home. Eventually, she became so self-conscious that somebody would want to ask to listen to her story or hear her in public, that she got a tick. She got so stressed that her head would start to jerk to the side whenever she was in public. And she just had to quit doing the business because it made her so crazy. And the thing was that everybody wanted to hear what she was doing so badly, but she didn't think anybody wanted to hear her, and that caused this huge obstruction. So for you, Leslie, I don't know if it's any kind of consolation, but you come across with just exactly the posturing that you think you don't have. That probably
I understand what you're saying. I think a lot of it just comes from the fact that I've always been a good student. I've always excelled at anything that I've tried doing, and have always felt really good about myself. So it's easy for me to come across as a really good, positive attitude.
Mm-hmm.
And then, but I've kind of hit a time in my life where I probably feel the worst about myself on the inside. So taking my way through it is really hard.
And what you really need is you need to be able to be around some friends like these guys, right? And the key though, is that you can't touch them. Because if we did a big group hug right here, it'd feel pretty good, wouldn't it?
Probably.
And we need that energy. So in light of the fact that you can't be with a group and you can't be hugged, you will become our project, all right?
See, and for me, that's the worst. I've always done really good at everything I do, so to be doing something I'm really struggling at, it's pretty hard. It's hard to take. It's hard to... And so then I feel like I'm disappointing everybody and people around me. And
well, that's a good thing to bring up, because let me tell you something that Terry Latham said about Joe Higdon. And did you ever hear that name before?
I don't think so.
Joe Higdon sold his business. He sold... his business was actually selling insurance policies to corporate people so that their employees could have insurance, like health insurance.
Uh-huh.
And what he found was that it was getting too expensive, and the employers weren't buying anymore, or they were on the verge of not buying anymore. And so as a result of them not wanting to buy anymore, he says, I better get out because the handwriting's on the wall that it's going to get to the point where nobody can afford this health insurance. So he sold his business for $140 million, joined Terry. The guy's 2 years into this. You can well imagine he's got immense credibility, and he's just, he's on a P1 team and totally frustrated because all these college kids and other people were seeming to be able to pull people to the table more. And Terry said something very profound. And he said, the way we work and the things that we do are hardest for people who have a lot of life success before, because there's so much to unlearn. So don't, beat yourself up too hard because you have to unlearn. It was just that you were in a system, just like Kiyosaki was saying. Remember what he said to his teachers when they said, Robert, you have to get good grades? Or did he say it on this tape?
Yeah.
I don't remember that part.
Well, basically what he said was, the teacher said, you have to get good grades so you can get a good job. And he says, no. You have to get good grades because you have to get a good job. I don't want a job. All I want is and he says, my banker never looked at my transcripts and my grades. My banker looked at my profit and loss summary. So what I'm going to focus on, teacher, is not sitting around here trying to get a good job working for somebody else. I'm going to be completely different, and I'm going to own whatever place you work for. Now, what's happening in that is that it's sort of common logic among all the people who grew up in the last part of the second half of the 20th century, all those folks who taught us and developed the business cycles and all the stuff that we were involved with, it was absolutely common knowledge that they were training everybody to be employees and not independent. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
So what you learned was how to be extremely successful being a lemming, being extremely successful at the opposite of courage, which is to conform. And now if you try to conform to something in this network marketing thing, it's like you get a handful of smoke. You just can't grab onto it. And it's about unlearning. But what the valuable lesson of the Pathfinder system is that now you've come up to a wall that you could kind of explain your way around before, but now you're just flat right in front of this wall. Now what I want to do is I want to say, Leslie's going to come across and she's got 15 skills that none of the rest of us have. But in this skill, the reason God put her in this position is because you're going to end up running down a whole bunch of people in your organization a year and a half from now who have the same wall they have to overcome. And once you overcome that wall, which is basically you have to unlearn, then you step back into it. Did you hear, and Lily, how many times have you gone through P1?
This is my third time.
It's the third time, and you finally broke the wall.
Yeah.
Leslie, how many times have you gone through P1?
This is my second.
Well, it's a sum total of one because you're halfway through one and you only went halfway through the other, right?
Yeah.
So what happens then is we get people who are successful in life who have to go through and figure out a few things. Have you been to goal training yet?
No, not yet.
There's a really cool... Who's been on goal training? Anybody?
I have.
Can you see the toothpick effect here? Remember that toothpick deal where they had you try to make the thing out of toothpicks and you had to raise your hand?
I can't remember.
Did they do that in goal training?
It was quite a while ago.
Basically, what they do is they give you a bunch of toothpicks and you have to figure out how to make this geometric shape. And if you can't do it...
Yeah, right. Yeah. I can remember that.
So can you see here where... It's just a paradigm that, look, I'm supposed to crack this code. And if I don't crack this code, it's like missing something on a test. But the complete, total, opposite paradigm shift is, that's not what we're doing here at all. What we're doing is we're saying, if you're trying to crack the code by yourself, you're not realizing that you have the resources. It'd be sort of like a mechanic is trying to get a bolt undone on your engine, and he uses his hand. But he's only a foot away from the toolbox that has all the tools in it. So the key here is saying, the reason that you're going through this moment in time and this difficulty and why we've had to take weeks to build up to it is so that we can finally break that habit pattern that says you have to do this by yourself. Then what you're going to discover is the tool is sitting right there in front of you, that you pick it up and you use the tool. And that tool is going to be use the network. Did you ever do sports, Leslie?
No, I hate sports. I like watching them. I hate playing them.
Well, let's follow this analogy. Let's say you're watching the Olympics, or you're coaching a group of kids to be participants in some kind of a swimming race that's all four different strokes, and so it's called a medley relay.
Yeah.
So you swim a couple of lengths of each one. If my son is a backstroker, we don't ask him to do the whole race. We asked him to do the backstroke. And that's exactly what we're doing here, is learning to break that cycle and create the networks that Leslie's organization is going to cover 12 countries in some fashion in some day. And can you see that we have to break this cycle in all of us, because if you're dealing with 12 countries and you got, let's say, 10,000 people in your organization, there's only a limited amount that you're going to be able to work with, right?
Right.
So you now have to, at the smallest common denominator, say, let the people who are skilled and do it easily do the parts that they do easily. Leslie, if you do this one thing for me, we will finally blow this group apart. And that is, if you will find a bunch of throwaway people and start doing three ways back and forth across the team to introduce them to the team, we'll finally get it. Now, do you know what I mean by throwaway people?
Yeah, people I don't care about.
Yeah, where you walk up to them and they're the dress clerk in the store and you and you say, well, I don't have anything to lose.
Yeah.
Dress clerk, I'm trying to do an experiment to see how the average person learns in the learning how to do networking to make a huge living. And I'm building some teams of people. Do you mind coming on the phone and meeting a couple of the people that we're networking with? You get them on maybe one time with Corrine and one with Trina. Two different calls. And you'd say, Corrine, can you tell her why we do this network? Then you get on another call and you say, Trina, can you tell her why we do this network? If we did a market experiment like that, do you think some of those people would be intrigued enough to jump in?
Probably.
But it's not a real win-lose situation for you. It's a lot more neutral.
Uh-huh.
Well, what it can do is it can break this group wide open to realize the power of the network. When it does that, then it breaks it open for you to be able to go after a much broader market in a bunch of different countries because you can keep referring people back to the network instead of you having to do all the work. So this is it. This is your crossroads where you're going to find how is it that you don't have to do all the work anymore.
Okay.
I really appreciate your coming with that kind of sincerity tonight. Now use the network. Because you know that trying to carry the big bag of rocks around all by yourself is too heavy for you to pick up. Use the network. Use the network, and by the time I go down to, if you can use the network, when I go down to Texas in 3 weeks, I can either brag about you anonymously, or I can brag about you in real person. You get your choice.
Okay.
And so I can. What I'm going to be doing is I'm going to be trying to educate teachers of this system about the critical moments that occur, and how you have to wade through the suffering to get to them. I'm thinking we might be able to do this. Is just really using the network. It's not a disclaimer on your skill or ability. It's just saying let's realize an entirely new thing that we just don't know how to look for. All right.
Okay.
You're all the most amount of awesome. We'll see you next week.
Hey, what's our homework?
What is the homework?
So the homework is the first three chapters of Dare to Dream and Work to Win.
Oh,
the book, the first three chapters of Dare to Dream, or usually it was in groups of three. I think he did say four, and I guess you could probably get through those, but they're much bigger chapters than the other one, so we usually did them in three. But let's go four.
Anything to listen to?
What I'd like to have you all listen to this week is a little bit off... I'm trying to think here. It's a little bit off of our normal run. I'll have to email it out to you because I have to make sure it works on the internet.
Okay.
But I've got one that I want you to listen to because I didn't... We were confused as to what Terry was having people listen to, and if I can figure that out, I'll pop it across too, but this other one, I want to just figure it out and see if I can come up with it on the internet so you can all listen to it from there. All right, I appreciate you.
Gary, I have a question.
Lily, you did great.
Thank you, and I am complete for this week.
Yay! Okay, the whole team this week. Great. Okay, is that Corrine?
Yeah. Do we have the last... We don't have the same homework as the last call?
We should, but did you listen to the live call or did you listen to the recorded call?
I just listened to the tail end of your last call when I was signing off.
Oh, yeah, it's the same one as that call, yeah.
Then the book is Think and Grow Rich on page 26 of the workbook.
That's why it was four pages.
Yeah,
that was like, I thought it was Think and Grow Rich.
That's right, it's Think and Grow Rich.
Okay.
And then the workbook.
And the tail end of
the big picture calls?
And listen, that's it. Now it's coming all back to me. Big picture calls. Listen to the big picture calls so you know what you have at your disposal.
Okay.
But that's something I'm going to work on this week is to create a new big picture call for our group.
Okay.
And I'm going to do something very different than has been done on any of the big picture calls. I'll lead the call and do a very quick synopsis, but then I'm going to have about four or five just really smash, flash testimonials from people like Gina.
Jerry, I'm on this call. I'm actually here.
Oh, okay. And what
I'm
we want to do...
I hope you guys don't mind.
We want to have people like Gina just come on and say, you want to wonder whether this is going to change your life? This is what happened to our life. Bam. You know, just hit them right between the eyes of the 2x4. Have somebody like Jetty, who's hotter than a $2 pistol down there, and really getting it. Boom. I may even have somebody where it might be somebody like Lily, who's just, she's just right in the middle of it. And then I'm going to have somebody totally brand new that's, you know, someone like Jessica. But I want to find out where I can get the most amount of emotional bang for people. When we get three or four of them on there, it just rocks their world in terms of changing their lives and not just product testimonials.
Mm-hmm.
And I think some of the testimonials we have that people listen to are not, they're kind of amazing, but they're not get you out of your chair, change the direction of your life, I'm going to do something different type of testimonial. It won't take long, but I think if we can seed that, that's what really will get people to say, whatever this is, I really want to take a look at it. Maybe I'll sign up right here on the spot. So we'll experiment with that a little bit. Keep that in mind when y'all are listening to your big picture calls this week. What are some of the things that strike you as being really cool? And really the bottom line is, do you get the feeling after listening to that big picture call that I better look into this in greater detail because I got a feeling I could do it? If you don't get that feeling, maybe we need to adjust it a little bit. Okay, y'all good?
Yeah, good.
And then, Gina?
Yes.
We're 25 minutes over.
I know. I'm sorry. I wasn't even sure if this was the right call.
Yeah, it was the last
you guys,
one I was going to put you on.
I just want to say, you guys are great. And you know what, Leslie? I just want to tell all of you, you can do this. You have exactly what it takes. Don't you ever not believe in yourself, girl. You need to believe in yourself because we all believe in you. And I will tell you what, Jerry White believed in me more than I ever believed in myself, and I would have never been able to do this. And do you know what I told someone the first time they introduced me to this business? I said, I am way too busy. I do not have time. I do not have time to do one more thing. And do you know what? If I would have believed that, I just would have missed a $10,000 check last month. So don't ever let anybody tell you they're too busy, because, or at least not without asking them one more question, because they might be missing a $10,000 check. So, ladies, I just want to encourage you. This is awesome, and you can do it.
That is too cool. All right, here we go. Crank up your engines. Next week we'll be talking about maybe a little bit of a new, the sort of the Moran look at life. All right, thanks, guys.
All right, guys. Thank you.
Good night.
Good night.